Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's Bible study. I want to go ahead and encourage you while you are tuning in to share this with whoever you're connected with. You can share via text. You can share by logging off right now and calling somebody. You can email somebody if you're using all of your phones or your iPads, and get on your MacBook or your computer and email somebody. Or yell out the window and tell somebody to stream on. But either way, we want to make sure that you are connected and that you're sharing this tonight, because I have something special I want to share with you. And more importantly, it's Bible study, so we don't want to miss it. So go ahead and gather your friends, gather your children, gather your Bible. Of course, we have our notes are already on the YouVersion Bible app. So if you go there, you can go ahead and you can find the YouVersion Bible app there so that you can get the notes in advance and already know what we're going to talk about. And you can use them to fill out the information or whatever you want to do. Go ahead and go there. Before we get into the word tonight, I just want to share a few things with you. I want to make sure that you go to our website and you go to growthpointchurch.org. And you can click on Grow the Goal, and many different things that you need are available to you. They're available to you in a way that has been crafted to make sure that there's nothing that you're going without. So there's a page that's just for resources, different resources that are in the community, resources that are available in the city and in the state, all different types of things. I want you to go there, as well as we just recently opened up our registration for our circles of growth, our small groups. So I want to make sure that you are connected to a group and connected to a life-giving source, so that in the midst of this season right now, that you're connected to somebody, that you're connected to someone who's praying for you, who you can share and go into the word with, find encouragement, all different types of things. So please go there and you can connect with a group that is for you. So go visit our website as quick as you can and go ahead and sign up for a group, as well as see the different things that are available to you, that we're trying to make sure we're connected to you as many ways as we possibly can. So whether you're watching tonight on YouTube or on Facebook or on the website, we're trying to make sure that we're upping our ways to connect with you. And I thank our media team and all of our teams who are doing different things behind the scenes and serving, and we're serving virtually, but having conference calls and Zooms and different things to make sure that we're connected. And I want to thank all of you who were sharing so many different things on our anniversary. It was a really special virtual anniversary that included communion as well. And all of you who shared those pictures and stuff, it was really, really cool to experience that together. I want to speak on something that is sad for us, but it happens in the life of every church, in the life of every family. But just recently, on our anniversary, as we were celebrating 5 years, we also had to, we ended the day with sadness at the passing of one of our dear mothers, Mother Joyce Smith. She cannot be replaced, will not be replaced, and her presence will be felt and missed and for many years to come. She wasn't with us for a very long time, but at 75 years young, she was the life of the room and the life of the party. She was never in the room and you did not know she was there. You knew she was there. I often say that people can't outpraise me or outshout me, but I think I met my match when it came to her. Her voice would be heard ringing the high soprano note, whether through the praise or whether through singing. She will be missed. We are praying for her family, and I want you to join us in praying for her family as well. There's lots of things that are going on right now in the world and in the community, and we are going to be lighting our green light tonight in honor of her. As this sickness and virus has gone throughout the land, I want you to continue to lift up the people that are not just numbers according to the media, but now they are names for us, for many of you. And I'm praying for your families and different ones that you've been connected with, and your different friends that you're connected with, and we call them out by name today, and we pray for them, and we lift them up and cover them, that they would win this fight on this side. But in the case of our dear mother, she won the fight on the other side, and she's been healed eternally. And that same praise she had here, I guarantee she's still got a praise, if not more, this time without a cane and without any assistance. I want to shout out all first responders and all of you who are in harm's way every day, trying to be assistance to families, to people. And we lift you up, and we are praying for you and covering you. First responders on every end, whether that be those who are picking up people or those who are keeping us safe or whatever, we thank you for what you're doing. We're learning from you what true service looks like, beyond checks and beyond any hours of the day. You carry these things with you, so we lift you up in your mental space and your peace of mind. So we're covering you tonight, and as a nation and as a body of believers, we're praying that the peace of God will surpass all of your understanding, and it will keep your heart and it will keep your mind in Christ Jesus. We will come through this, and we will come through this together with the help of God. Tonight, I want to go into our Bible study, and there's a series that we are on that we started Sunday and our anniversary on Easter, well, Palm Sunday, called Hello World. The Hello World comes from something that the Lord had really been dealing with me about for some time, but even more so now, that if we are only effective because we are in a building like this, then are we really effective? And I'm not saying that we are not effective, but for many of us who I can't wait to get back to the building, and I am like you some often, I love to be around each other and family and praise God together. I can do it privately, but I love to do it with other people. I do. But when it comes to serving, when it comes to ministry, when it comes to reaching people, there are many people that you are connected with right now. Many people that you see right now, there are people that you're talking to right now that you might not have been talking to before or have not had as much conversation as you've had with them now. Conference calls and Zoom meetings and all these different things that are going on now that you might not have, you might be closer to people now than you probably intended to be or wanted to be. And it was not even on your list of things that you wanted to accomplish this year. But look at what has happened now. And now that we are here, yes, there's a pandemic that has happened, and it came at a time that we were not, many of us were not prepared for. One week we were fine, and the next week it came almost like a thief in the night, where we were not really ready for it. I'm not just talking about economically, I'm not talking about I'm just saying in many ways, we were okay, maybe, with our normal 9-to-5 lives and getting up here and doing this and binge watching this and all these different things. And then all of a sudden there's this interruption that came. And when interruptions happen, as I've said a few weeks ago, we can either continue to talk about the interruption, and yes, it has impacted us in many different ways, and impacting us personally, and impacted us in ways in which we wish we could wave a wand and have it go away. But at the same time, it has caused us to really look within the people or that we are around and really ask the question, what is it that we are to do with the time that we have, the people that we are connected with, as well as what is the Lord saying to us about right now and what we are to do? I strongly believe that we are in a great time as far as the church body is concerned, not from the sense of what it has, we've been attacked with, but in the sense of what it has opened our eyes to. Some things that we said we wouldn't do, now we're doing. Some things that were on the on hold are now not on hold anymore. Now it has caused us to be able to really look. So tonight, I want to talk to you tonight. We want to make our confession first, but I want to talk to you tonight about reaching your circle or how to reach your circle. You have a circle. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. So as you might have already gone to YouVersion Bible app and got your notes, you already know what we're talking about tonight, and you already know what our points and our scripture is for tonight. But for those of you who haven't, you can go over to YouVersion Bible app, as well as you'll see the scriptures that'll be on the screen for you as well. And for you to go back, and I encourage you to review this and look at it as many times as you want to, so that you can get this down inside of you. And that's not just something that you heard, it sounds good, that tickles your ears, but it's something you said, you know what, I'm going to do something with that, and I'm going to actually maximize the moments that I have. So let's go ahead and let's make our confession together. Those of you who have been with us for any length of time, you know we have a confession. It's a growth point confession. And this is what we say before we go into the word. So let's do it together. This is God's word for my life. I read it, receive it, understand it, and love it. I'm so glad I have what I need to grow. Let's go into the word tonight, and I'm going to talk tonight from you, just to prep you for those of you who are waiting for the scripture. It's not just a set scripture. I'm going to hit a few of them from 2 Peter to Luke, the 15th chapter. So those are a few things I just want you to go ahead and prepare. When I was growing up, we used to, the preacher sometimes would get up and he would say, you know, take that little page mark you have and we're going to go to Luke and then stick a pen there and then you go back and let's go to Peter. Then stick it, you know, they would go over and we would go back and we would flip the pages back and forth because we were such students of the word. But that's what we used to do. But John Maxwell says that leadership is influence, nothing more and nothing less. Many of you are saying and have said, I'm not a leader, because of what you might feel are lacking skill sets or certain giftings or things that you don't feel that you have. But leadership, according to John Maxwell, and I tend to agree with this, that leadership is influence. Who do you have influence over that you're connected with? That's what I want to talk about as it relates to a circle. Anyone who you have influence over, anyone who you might, someone who might act like you, respond like you, and they're not necessarily kin to you, you might have influence over. When people start saying, you know, so-and-so says, or they do this, or whatever, you have influence, and there are eyes and people that are looking at you and are watching you, whether you want to be watched or looked at or liked or not, it is true, you have influence over people. Now the question is, what do you do with the influence that you have? There's a story of the guy, Dr. J. Edwin Orr, who took a group to Wheaton College back in the 1940s. And one of the stops they had made, they made a stop that is at a place that is now known as a Methodist museum, and is a spot where they believe was one of the home of John Wesley, who is the founder of the Methodist movement. They went to a particular bedroom and they showed this bedroom and there was some different indents in the floor. And they believed that those particular indents were the spots where John Wesley prayed. And it said that he would pray often, he would get on his knees and he would often pray that a movement, something would happen, that he would be used for God in a great way. Well, these students who are on this tour with John, with Dr. Orr, they were back on the bus. And when they got back on the bus, Dr. Orr realized that one of the students was not with him. So he started looking and said, does anybody know where we're missing someone? And he went back in the particular now known Methodist Museum. And when he went back in and he went into Dr. Wesley, John Wesley's room, and where those indentations were of the spot where John Wesley was praying, he found a young man kneeling there at that spot. And he started to pray, Lord, do it again. Lord, do it again. And that young guy who was on his knees praying was who we know as the late great Dr. Billy Graham. Billy Graham went on to do many things, his simplistic message but passionate connection to people, to share the gospel with people, caused him to be able to win over 3 million people to Christ. What a great parade, I'm sure, that he had when he went to heaven. All the people who were welcoming him saying, because of you, I made it here. Because of you, I had a relationship with Christ. But he got on his knees and he prayed, Lord, do it again. John Wesley never met Billy Graham. And many of you might not have ever met Billy Graham. But one prayer encountered and infected 3 million people. One prayer of John Wesley impacted a whole Methodist movement and even more. I want to challenge you tonight for you to have a commitment to reaching your circle. What ripple effect will that have for generations and for years to come? If we would look through the lens of what's going on right now, from the lens of what will I do for Christ right now? What will I do to be more impactful right now? People might not ever meet you, but there could be a prayer that you pray, glory, a prayer that you pray right now that could be answered for generations and for years to come. Here we find in this story, when you ask the question, and we're wrestling with this thought tonight in this Bible study, for those of you who are just coming in, we're wrestling with the thought of reaching our circles. And the question is, how do we reach our circles? And if I'm going to have influence, and you say I have influence, and John Maxwell says I have influence, and Billy Graham was influenced by John Wesley's prayer, and we've been impacted by what he's done, and I've been impacted by my family or whatever. All of us have a trail of people that have impacted us. So if we're going to have, if we have influence, and if we're going to do something with our circle, then what exactly and how exactly do we do it? Well, the first thing that I believe that we should do tonight and that you should do forevermore first is pray God's will over them. Not just pray for them, but pray specifically. Pray God's will for them. And not just, well, if it's his will. Oh, no, no. We want to pray God. What is God's will? Well, I'm glad you asked. What is God's will? Well, let's look at first. Well, let's look at 2 Peter, the third chapter and verse 9. 2 Peter, the third chapter, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack. One version says, King James Version says, this one version says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, or one version says some count slackness. He is patient, but he's patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That is the promise. That is the will of God. He's not slow to fulfill his promise. What is his promise? His promise is that all would be saved. That's the promise, is that everyone would be saved and that no one would miss an opportunity to get to know Jesus. That is the promise. He says he's not slow as some of us count slowness. And that's why it's important, because when we pray God's will, I know you're connected with someone, I'm connected with someone, we have people that are around us, and we say, I don't know if they'll ever get to know Jesus. I don't know, because it doesn't seem like they're going to. It doesn't look like they're going to. But when you look past your view and look past your lens and look through the lens, glory, look through the lens of the cross and look through the lens of his promise and look towards the lens of his perfect will for them. That's what it says in even Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans that God has for me. You have to know his plans. Even when I don't know my plans or I don't know how this thing's supposed to work out, God has a plan. He has a purpose. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. What that means is God has an ordained time. There's a set time for all things. Ecclesiastes says that. There's a time for everything, for every season under the heaven, for every purpose under the heaven. God has a certain plan. Our design, our purpose, and what we're supposed to do is to pray God's will. That when you're praying for someone, when you're praying for your circle, praying for your friends, praying for your co-workers, praying for people you're connected to, You have to speak the will of the Lord over their life. You don't have to speak it for they to have to hear it to scare people or anything. But when you're praying, say, Lord, you already designed them in your image. You already perfected them. You already know what it is that you have designed for them. You know when they are to get saved. You know what you're going to use, what measures they're going to have to use. I pray that they don't keep running from you, but I pray, God, according to your will, that you're not slack concerning your promise. I know it doesn't look like it in my timing. I would have already chosen that they be saved by now. I would have already arranged it by now, that they did it when they were 9, but now they're 29 and they're still running from you. Now they're 39 and they're still trying to reject you. But I know you have a plan, and you're not slack. You're not slow as I count slowness, but you have a plan. I know that 1,000 years are as one day to you. So Lord, I'm going to trust you for their life. I'm going to trust you for their heart. I'm going to trust you for their turnaround. I have my grandmother who's gone on to be with the Lord. My grandmother growing up, Church of God in Christ. Mike, that's why I can go both ways. One minute I'm acting Baptist, the next minute I'm coaching. But I remember often when I would stay at my grandmother's house, in the little house that she lived in, and I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would hear her in the bathroom praying, and she would say, save this person and save that person and save my husband and save my children. And it wasn't that some of them were not in church. It wasn't that. She would say, Lord, I want them to line up with your will. I want them to line up with your purpose. And she would be praying 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. She would be, and she didn't even have, for those of us who have been upgraded and we have prayer rooms and we have different areas, air-conditioned rooms now. It's interesting because even Bishop Jake said the other day, we have to be careful saying that we're going through so much when we have air-conditioned homes. We might be going through some things, but be careful of just saying you're really going through something when there are people who are not sure if they can keep their homes. But my grandmother would be in the bathroom and she would be praying and she would be just interceding and calling on the name of God, but she didn't have a prayer room. Where did she pray? She prayed in the bathroom, around the toilet. I don't know what she was doing in there, but I do know that she was praying and she was saying, God, according to your word. And you have to understand about my grandmother, this is what's important. My grandmother didn't know how to read until she was much older in life. And when she and my grandfather went to get someone to teach them how to read. And my grandmother, I remember her saying, the only reason I want to learn how to read is so that I can read the word. I don't want somebody else to read it to me. I don't want to hear what somebody else says about it, but I want to read it for myself. And when you know the promise of God, glory, when you know his promises, you don't want to hear it from somebody else. You can speak what you know. You can be able to say, according to your will, according to your promise, you're not slow, glory. You're not slow concerning your promise, as some count slowness. I might think it's slow. I might think my child has not done what I think they should have done by now. But according to your will, you're not slow. You have a design for them. They can be in the club at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the extended edition, and they can be there, and in the midst of them thinking about what they're listening to, you can speak through the beat. And while they're thinking about a beat, they all of a sudden they say, wait a minute, y'all, I hear, isn't somebody calling you? You have a plan, you have a design, you have a purpose. You're not slow concerning your promise. He says, but you are patient. You are patient toward them. And sometimes you need to lay your hand on yourself right now, because we're not touching people right now. You lay your hands on yourself and say, Lord, give me a little bit more patience. Now, you have to be careful when you start praying stuff about patience, because when you start asking God for patience, sometimes you get the exact opposite. You get situations that seem to be challenging your patience. And you have to start saying, you have to start choosing patience. That's what it means. I'm choosing to be patient in an unpatient season. I would like for things to be moving faster than they are moving, but I am choosing to be patient in this. He said, the Lord is patient. That's a word for somebody. It says, the Lord is patient towards you. That means that some people might perish, but they're not going to perish because that's God's will for them. They perish, or they choose to not follow Christ. That's not his will. His design is that everyone be saved. His map, his plan is that everyone say yes to him. But because he is such a loving and patient God, he will not interrupt your plan. He will not interrupt your will. He has made us free moral agents, able to choose which way we want to go, whether we choose right, whether we choose left. He's not going to interrupt. Now, he'll speak and he'll give you warnings and he'll sometimes try to reel you in. But if you go anyway, he's not going to choke you. He's going to say, they'll come back. Hopefully they'll come back, because he's willing. He's patient. He doesn't want to lose anybody. And he wants all of us to say yes to him. He said he is patient towards us, or the King James Version, New King James Version says, he is long-suffering towards us. That Greek word long-suffering means that he has an emotional state of calm. He means that nothing has, if Jesus were to wear a t-shirt right now, his t-shirt would say hashtag unbothered. That's what he is saying towards many of us who are going, or that are things or people that have not turned towards him. He's saying, I know when they're going to say yes to me. I know what measures I might have to use to get them to say yes to me. He says, I'm long suffering. I'm at an emotional state of calm. That's what he says, long suffering. And that's what we have to be. Well, we are ministering to people and we are reaching to people. And if you're in a circle of people that you have influence over and you're wanting them to get connected, he said, you have to have an emotional state of calm to be able to calm yourself and trust God's will and trust God's plan for their life, knowing that he has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a destiny for them. I know they might be strung out on many different things right now. And I know that they might seem like they're all over the place and that their mind is all messed up. But God has a plan. With one word from God, he can change every situation. One word. I don't care where they are right now. You're saying, well, they haven't. They don't seem like they're even turning towards God. Listen, it doesn't matter how it happens. We don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. But I want you to trust God's will and trust his plan. Paul said in Romans 10 chapter and verse 1, he even prayed this. He said, brothers, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, he's talking about, he says, for Israel, those God's chosen people, he said, is that they might be saved. We know according to scripture in John, it says he came into his own didn't even receive him. Paul was saying, he said, my prayer for God's people, the ones that he came for, is that they might be saved. Verse 2 says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. It means that they're spiritually blind and they don't even know it. That they are going through the routine, they're going through the motions, that they're doing all different types of religious things, but they're doing religious things without even being connected to the one who established and came for them. He said, I want to make sure that they're saved. He says, there are many of you who are saying that some of your circle, that they're mad at you. They can't hear from me because they're mad at me. They're not mad at you. It's not that they don't want to hear from you. They just don't understand it. They're blind. And when people are blind, they have to trust the one or the stick or the guide dog or whatever that's going to guide them. And I'm saying to you, in your circle that you have, your connection that you have, you are the one who sees. You see the way. The scripture says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life or leads to life. So if you know the narrow way, you know the path, and they don't know it, you can't get upset with people who are blind. You cannot be frustrated with people who are blind saying, don't you see that we're almost at the end of the road and don't you see this car coming? They can't see, and many times people don't know what they don't know. That's why we pray the will of God for people. I want God's will to be done in your life because I'm praying it because you just don't know what you don't know. You don't know. You think you're mad at the church. You're not mad at a building or mad at a people. You're mad because you're trying everything, and everything you're trying is not working. You're going to everything. That's what the woman does with the issue of blood says. She went to many physicians, glory, and none could help her. None was getting better. She was only getting worse. But then the scripture says, but when she heard that Jesus was passing by, she pressed through the crowd and said, if I can just get a touch and be in his presence and be touched the hem of his garment, I believe. And it scripture says, and immediately, I'm saying to you, if you get people in the right environment and get them in the right situation where they say, I've tried everything and nothing I've tried has worked for me. Nowhere I've gone has worked for me. I'm at this place now that all I'm doing is scrolling. All I'm doing is sitting here watching message after message. And I said, I would never listen to anybody, but I just stumbled on this thing tonight and I don't even know why I'm here. And I don't know who this person is, but I've tried everything else. And tonight I want to tell you that there's a man from Galilee, and if you're in sin, he'll set you free. That's what that woman said. I've tried everything else and nothing else worked. I think I'm going to try Jesus. And let me tell you, he satisfies. God specializes in things, glory, calm me down. God specializes in things that seem impossible. And he can do with no other power. That's what my Aunt Gladys said. He can do with no other power. Holy Ghost power can do. And I want you to pray God's will, that he has a purpose and he has a plan for them. I stayed too long on that. But that's what someone say that right now. He can do it. God can do it. Someone just put that in the comments. God can do it. There's nothing that is harder. There's nothing too hard for God. Glory to Lamb. So we're talking about, so just put emoji hands. Somebody got to give God a praise for something tonight. So we're talking about how to reach your circles or reaching your circles. And so the point one was to pray God's will over their life. Well, the second thing is you have to, listen, we're going to Luke. Now we're switching. Luke 15 and verse 1 and 2. It says that now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees, these people who were walking around gloating in their knowledge and gloating in what they knew and their resources and their head knowledge, they're upset because God, or Jesus rather, is not following their rules. And he's loving people who they don't think he should love. He's going after people that they don't think he should be going after. He's patient towards people that they don't feel he should be patient for. Isn't that how oftentimes religion works? Where it's a set rules and set things that if you're not doing these things, then you are not in God's will. But according to this, these people were coming and trying to figure out why Jesus was breaking the rules. Oh, I'm so glad. Glory. I'm going to my next point. I'm so glad that he broke the rules for me. I'm so glad that he did not go according to everything that the Mosaic law did and according to the traditions and all these different things and said, this is how it's supposed to work. I'm so glad that he broke the rules for me and that he did what nothing else could help. That love, I was sinking. I was in a place that it didn't seem like I was able to deliver myself. But I'm so glad that he broke the rules and said, I'm coming after you. If I got to step over, if I got to come through generations, if I got to step over you never being in church, I've got to step over you knowing nothing about a religious and a religion and knowing nothing about church attendance. I'll shut it down to get you on a screen. I'll put you in a place that you're on YouTube and you're just looking for new content. I'll do whatever I got to do. I'll break all their rules just so I can get your attention. Glory to God. And that's what happened. They were looking, they said, this man receives sinners. And not only does he receive sinners, he eats with them. But Jesus didn't just receive them. He said, I'm gonna eat with you. If you hungry, I'm hungry. I'm gonna do whatever you do because I want to get close to you. I'm gonna do whatever I can do to be in relationship with you. And the second point is, if you're gonna reach sinners, glory, if you're gonna reach them, because it says here in verse 3, it says, so he told them a parable. When they came to him like that, he said, let me tell you a story. You want to hear it? Here it goes. He said, let me tell you a story. He said, he told them a parable. He says, what man of you, which of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 sheep the 99 sheep that you had into an open country and go after that one that was lost until you find it? He said, you have 100 sheep, but you look and you start counting and you start dividing and you start looking at your count and you realize that one of them is lost, because sheep are your resource. Sheep are something that you use. They're not just keeping sheep just to just count numbers, but you have them because each one of them represents something. That's a part of your resources or income, is according to the culture of that time. It was something that was important. He said, which one of you will not go after that one? Because you want to make sure you get what you're worth, or whatever is worth for you, because all of these sheep call something. They all mean something. They're all something. So the second thing is, in your circle, you have to recognize their value. Recognize their value, not your value towards them, but their value. Look beyond where they might be or what they might be struggling with or what might be going on, and see their value. See that they have value. The question you have to ask yourself, because that's what he was saying with this. He says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one, you're not going to go after it. I want to ask you a question. How much is the soul worth to you? How much is your cousin worth to you? How much is your family member worth to you, or your coworker, or your best friend, or your neighborhood, or someone that you're connected to, or your mentor? How much worth do they have in your life? How much value do they have in you? How much value do they have in your life? If something were to happen to them, what would that do to you? So if it means something to you, then it got to mean something. It has to mean something to Christ. He says, how much, if you lost one of them, if I have three children, and if one of them were lost, I wouldn't say, well, I got two more, it's all right. No. If one of them is lost, anyone who's not helping me find the one who is lost, glory to the Lamb. Anyone who's not helping me find who is lost, you are in my way. For everybody who says that all we are concerned about in church or in our buildings and our ministries is about numbers, let me go ahead and clear the record right now. You are absolutely right. Because as long as there's one person out there, as long as there's somebody who does not know Christ, as long as there's somebody who is lost, let me tell you what the Hebrew means for lost. Because some of you need to know that I'm a student of the word. Let me tell you what the Greek word for lost means. Let me tell you, it means lost. That's all it means. If somebody's lost, it means they can't find their way. That means when somebody's lost, they don't know where they're going. They don't know what their purpose is. Hallelujah. They don't know what their plan is. They don't know what they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be connected to. So as long as there's somebody who needs to know Jesus, as long as there's somebody who is sitting there thinking about committing suicide and ending their life because this stuff that's going on in the world right now has got them in the feelings and got them in their head, we're going after them. We're going after them unrelentlessly, unapologetically. We do not apologize. As long as there's one, thank God for the 99. Thank God for the 199. Thank God for 999, if that's what we had. Thank God for them. But if there's one person who hasn't been connected and one person who's not plugged in, I will shut everything down to say I want to make sure that we go after the soul who's got away. It doesn't even matter to and other people until you're the one who almost got away. And somebody called you, and somebody reached you, and somebody said, hey, I want to check on you and make sure you're okay. That's what he's saying. His parable. He said, if you lose a sheep, will you not go after it? He's saying you go after it because of its value in your life. And I'm asking you tonight, how valuable is your circle to you? How valuable are your friends to you? How valuable are the people that you text all day long? How valuable are the people that are around you? How valuable are they to you? Are they valuable enough just to share news threads and all the different things that are going on? Are they valuable enough for you to share the gospel with them? And if you're uncomfortable sharing the gospel, share a podcast, share a YouTube video. There's too much content out there for us to have an excuse as to say, well, we don't know what to do. You can't say you don't know what to do. It's just many times we don't do what we know to do. And I'm saying to you, look at your circle and ask yourself, how valuable, hello world, how valuable is the world to me right now? How valuable is it? Value, according to this, is talking about an investment. That's how valuable we were to God, that he invested his entire son. not just some son, but his only son. Some of us often only want to give God some praise and not the good praise, not the praise that costs us something. I'm talking about there is a praise, there is a giving, and there is a place of sacrifice that comes from a spot that it almost costs you everything. And that when you give that offering, and when you give that gift, and when you give that praise, and when you give your time, and when you give that counsel, it goes back to a spot of pain. It goes back to a spot that almost costs you everything. That's what God did. He looked over. He didn't say somebody else can do it. He said, oh, I'll send my son. He's going to do it. He said, I'm going to send my only son into the world so that whoever believes in him, whoever looks to him and lives, that when they look to him and they believe, they shall live and they shall have eternal life. That's how much value we had in heaven. That he said, forget about this gold streets. Forget about the royal diadems. Forget about these angels that are bowing down and singing holy, holy all day long. I need to hear another song. I need to hear another song. That's a song I need to hear. Because when they sing that song, the angels are going to say, who are these people? And what song are they singing? And we'll be able to reply, these are they that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Glory, 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 glory to God. That is the value. That is the value of heaven. That when we get there, when we get on streets of glory, when we get to that place where Mother Smith is, we'll be able to say, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we love not our lives unto death. That's what we want to be able to say, that I'm so valuable. I want you to look at yourself right now and say, I have value. I have value. Someone else might have looked over me. Someone else might have said that I wasn't worth much. But when he looks at me, he sees value, and it's the value of the sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We have to look at our family, look at our circles, look at our friends, and see the value, and look at them. And if they're valuable to Christ, they've got to be valuable to us. Hallelujah. Glory. Somebody put it in the comment section. Say, I'm valuable. I'm valuable. I'm valuable. Go ahead and say it. Say it. I'm valuable. If you're near somebody, hey, you don't touch them, but tell them, I'm valuable. I'm valuable. I'm valuable. Glory. And then I've got a few more things that we're going to get out. Then verse 5, he says, if he leaves in 99 and goes after the one, he says, when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together all his friends and his neighbors and says to them, he says, rejoice with me. For I have found the sheep that was lost. He doesn't just celebrate by himself. He brings a whole community in. He says, come on, rejoice with me. Because the one person that was on my, the sheep, the thing that was on my mind, the thing that had value to me that got away has come back to me, has come back home. The third thing, in order for us to reach our circle, we have to make sure that we plug them into a support group. You don't see that there? He says when he plugged him into the support group, he said when he found him, he laid on his shoulders rejoicing. He came home, called together everybody to say, if I'm going to keep this sheep, if I'm going to make sure this thing stays here and doesn't slip away again, I'm going to plug it into a small group. I'm going to plug it into a something that can cover, because many of us, and we have to repent, for many of us, we think we are Savior. And that we can keep everybody. We can't often keep ourselves. So if we can't keep ourselves, we need to make sure that we plug people in and make sure that they have. What I'm saying is, if you have never dealt with an addiction, you can't often help someone walk through addictions. If you have never walked through abortion, you cannot often minister to someone who has experienced abortion or experienced miscarriage or experienced divorce or experienced bankruptcy or experienced losing their mind or experiencing being laid off their job or experience. If you've never been through, many of us who come out of this, if you've never been through COVID-19, you might not be able to minister to someone who's actually experienced it before. It qualifies you to be able to minister. You have to be careful of allowing people to minister to you based on a book they read or something that someone else saw them, a blog that they read or some article. No. You have to make sure. He said, I'm not just rejoicing that my sheep has returned. He said, I want to bring the whole community in, because there is a reason the sheep left in the first place. There's a reason that the sheep left, and I want to make sure that the opportunity, glory, the opportunity for the sheep to leave does not happen again. So I'm bringing a community, because when you bring in a community, somebody's going to be able, glory, somebody's going to be able to identify and look in that sheep's eye. When I say sheep, I'm not talking metaphorically, not just talking about a particular sheep that's an animal. I'm talking about you, your friends, your family. They're able to look through your eyes and say, that one right there deals with depression. And because I've dealt with it, I'm gonna latch them. I'm gonna connect myself to them. And woe to many of us, hear this, church, woe to many of us who know what to do and we don't do it. Woe to many of us who know how to help people and we don't help people. Woe to the many of you who are able to look through someone's eyes and look at someone's post and see their real issue and see what's really going on with them, and we refuse to do it, and we say it's somebody else's job and somebody else's thing for them to do. Somebody else needs to serve there. Someone else knew that. No. When you are called, when you are feeling something, or you see something, you identify with something, or you have discernment for something, that means you might be the one who is called to be able to rally around that sheep and to make sure that they do not leave again. That's why he called the whole community in. He didn't call the whole community in contrary to popular opinion. He didn't call the whole community in to have a praise break. He said, no, when this party is over, I want to plug them into something that will keep them from leaving again. I want to make sure that they have something that they're plugged in, because I cannot lose. I cannot risk losing them again. I cannot risk it. I cannot risk them slipping through the cracks again. I won't risk it. Right now, when we're not in buildings, I'm asking you, who have you gone after in your circle? They're slipping. Some people are slipping away. And we have to ask ourselves, I know what I've been going through. We've been saying, I'm going through finances, I'm going through this. But in the midst of that, no one went through more than Jesus. So we're talking about this Holy Week. No one went through more than Jesus. No one went through more. No. Have any of us been on the cross lately? Have any of us been crucified? Have any of us had nails in our hands? Have any of us wore a crown of thorns? Have any of us been spit on? I don't think that any of us have. But in the midst of pain and agony, in the midst of extreme, excruciating pain and blood and the tears were coming down his face, and all people were making fun of him, and they even put something on top of the cross to make fun of him, because he called himself, he was the king, but they made fun of him just to say that he calls himself this. And in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his agony, one sinner, one thief who was on the side of him, he said, I know that you are the Christ. He said, when you die, when you go into your paradise, he said, will you allow me to be there? And Jesus responded to him. He said, this day you will be with me in paradise. In the midst of him in pain, in the midst of him almost breathing his last breath, before he came out of here, in the midst of his pain, he said, I'm still saving people on the cross. I'm telling you, this corona might feel like a cross to you, and this situation that you're going through might feel like a cross to you, but don't get so weighted down that you don't reach out to somebody. Don't get so weighted down that you forget to look over at somebody who needs to know the right way to get to Christ and know how to get there. Glory to the Lamb. So he plugged them into a small group. One thing, last thing, and I'm through. Verse 7 says this. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Verse 7 says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. He's saying, if the church or the building or the event or the room is filled with a whole bunch of people, that's great. But if they don't feel like changing, it's not great. If there's a whole bunch of people around and they don't feel like changing, a whole bunch of people that are just lurking just to be lurking, I don't care about that. But I am going to rejoice. All of heaven is going to rejoice over one person in the midst of many people who had no desire to change. He's going to rejoice over one person just to say one person made a decision. All of heaven. Now that's when the praise break comes in, because all of heaven rejoices over one person who made a difference in their life. That's what he was saying. That was a whole parable about. How much would you rejoice if your cousin gave their life to Christ right now? You can't bring them to a building right now. You can't bring them to a revival service, but you sure can start a revival on FaceTime. Glory, glory. You can start a revival in a small group. You can start a revival in your messaging, in your DM. You can start one. It just takes a spark to keep the fire going. I'm telling you, get your fire burning. Start reaching your community, because all of heaven is rejoicing over one person. Can you imagine the people that can be lined up to get baptized just because of the conversations that you're having right now? The things that you're doing right now. And for many people who are saying, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter until you were the one who mattered. Until you were the one who almost got away, it doesn't matter. But when you were the one who mattered enough for somebody to forget about all their plans and say, I'm going after them, then it matters. And I'm saying to you, your circle matters. Circles matter. The people that you're around, you have influence over them. Getting plugged into a group, it matters. It's not just something to do. It's a life group. It's a life support group. It's I need life support to be able to not run away again. That's what many of you are actually saying. I don't want to escape, but I'm going to escape if somebody doesn't grab me, if somebody doesn't get me plugged in. I got to be plugged in because I'm getting ready to lose this thing. I'm going to go insane and go crazy if I don't get plugged in. And that's what he was doing. He said, we're going to rejoice over one person who makes a decision. And I want to challenge you tonight as I end. We're going to prayer. I want to challenge you tonight. That you not forget about the one. I know we matter, and you matter, and I matter, but there's one who matters too. There's somebody you're connected to that matters. And don't get so caught up with all the different things that are going on, all the different things that you hear, that you forget about the one. Desmond Doss in Hacksaw Ridge made a decision that he was not going to carry artillery. He was not going to be fighting and holding a weapon. He said, I'm going to be one of those who, I'm going to be a medic. And that's why we appreciate our first responders. He said, I'm going to be a medic. And I'm going to go after those that, while you're taking lives, I'm going to be saving lives. So every time they had abandoned one thing, they abandoned this particular area that no one can be helped. He said, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to go after everybody who might be wounded that still has life. This is nobody here, but suit yourself. When they left, he kept hearing the cries of people. When he kept hearing the cries of them, he went back and he would grab one person and he would make sure they had the medicine they needed. He would drag them to the ending of this particular drop-off. That he would drop them off and lower them down to safety by himself. Then he would go back and get another person. And then he would bring them to that drop-off place and he would lower them down by himself. And then he would say, before he went back to the next person, tired and worn out because he was doing it himself, he said, Lord, help me save one more. Then he would go back and get another one, lower them down. Then he would say, Lord, help me save one more. I'm asking you tonight, what would it look like if you would say, Lord, help me reach my circle. Lord, help me get one more. Let's pray tonight. First, I want to pray for all of you who are listening, who you haven't given your life to Christ. And I want to pray a special prayer for you and lead you into the plan of salvation. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, tonight, I stumbled on this broadcast. I don't even know who these people are, who this person is. But I know who you are. Come into my heart. I believe you died that I might have eternal life, and that you even got up for me that I might have victory. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer, that you got born again. All of heaven is rejoicing right now over one person. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go ahead and comment under this. Let us know that you made that decision. We're going to reach out to you. We're going to make sure that you get plugged into a good Bible-based church. I'm not just talking about a building. I'm talking about a body of believers to make sure that you can grow. We want to put you in a support group. If you choose to connect with us, we would love to do that because we would love to grow with you. and I would love to serve as your pastor. But there are so many great ministries that you don't have to just connect with us if that's not your choice. But connecting you with Jesus, oh, that's the best thing that you could have done tonight. For the rest of you, I want to pray for you tonight that the blessings of the Lord would rest upon you in a way that you'll be restless until you say yes to God. And I'm not talking about yes to God for your business and for your finances and for your stability. I'm talking about yes to God on behalf of the people that are in your circle. That you get some patience, that you start seeing their value, you start seeing who they are. So Father, I pray for these agents that are enlisting to be able to go out into the world. The harvest is ripe, Lord, but oh, we do know the laborers are few. So I'm praying, Lord, to the Lord of the harvest that you anoint them with fire tonight. Let there be a thumb anointing on them tonight. They'll start texting people they hadn't texted before and start setting up conference calls and Zoom chats and FaceTime revival moments to say, hey, I've been meaning to say something that I haven't said and I need to say this. And I need to start pointing you in the right direction. Give them patience, resilience, and courage to do what you called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. Before you log off, before you get off, I want to give you an opportunity to give. This is God's economic plan. It's not my plan, it's his plan. And I want to give you the opportunity to give to God, give to God through his church. We're not giving to the church, we're giving through the church. And I want you to overlook that opportunity and I want you to just click off. Many of us love to go to restaurants, but we never go to restaurants that we don't pay the meal for. You will often be washing dishes if you don't pay for what it is that you got. No, salvation is free, but it does cost to be able to do what it is that God has called for us to do. And if you believe in this ministry, and if you believe in what it is that God has called for us to do, and you believe in what it, where we're going and who we're reaching, we need you to partner with us. Unashamedly, we're not apologizing for that. This is not a hocus-pocus plan. This is not give, and God will wave all your problems away. No, this is give, and watch God rebuke the devourer for your sake. And if you don't need anything rebuked in your life, then you don't have to give. But for many of us, we need God to rebuke something. It's God's plan, and I want to give you that opportunity to give. The information is already on the screen, but I would encourage you to do that. For the rest of you, if you need any type of care, anything that's going on with you at all, I want to encourage you to go to our website. Make sure that you stay connected because we want to continue to grow with you. For those of you who would even love to join and be a part of our church, be a part of our family, we would love for you to be a part of our Growth Point family. You would love to do that. The information is there as well for you to do that. Online opportunities for you to go through our Growth Track, new members class, all that type of stuff. We're virtual, y'all. We're doing everything we can to keep you connected. I love you all. I pray that this message and this time of study encourage you and that you're invigorated and excited and on fire to do something for God. If our illustrious former president were here, he would say, you're fired up. And I want to make sure that tonight you are fired up. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you again, same time, same place. And until we see each other again, do whatever you can to keep growing. Good night. Yeah.